Well, with the turn of the season, did you use it as a bit of an opportunity to sort through the wardrobe, toss out any old cardigans and old tracky dacks in readiness for the new styles, new labels? If so, you're certainly not alone. We are a consumer culture. But do you give much thought to where our discarded clothes go? How about the clothing that doesn't even get a fast fashion moment, the stuff that stays on the rack in the department store until it's time to make room for something trendier? Anthony Chesler is the CEO of Thread Together, a non-profit that redistributes new, excess, end-of-line clothing through a network of charities and social service agencies to people in need. And at the moment, with so much flood devastation, a lot of people need help. And Anthony joins us now on Evenings. Hi, Anthony.
Hello, how are you today?
I'm really great. Thanks for joining us here on Evenings. Can we go to the far north coast and Lismore first? As we know, there's been so much heartache there. Can you describe the need for a service like Thread Together and the work you've been doing up there?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for the opportunity to share the work that we're doing. Sadly, having spent a number of weeks now in Lismore, what you see on the ground is extremely devastating and hard to actually put into words. I tell people when you look at a flood zone from an aerial view, you're in some ways desensitized because you tend to expect what you see, which is lots of water on the ground. But when you're on the ground and you're talking to people, people are broken, and we really feel for people that have experienced not just one set of circumstances in the last few months, but now two. And for some people, it's multiple times given the flooding that they've experienced over the years. And we can play just a small part to try and restore some dignity and provide some normalcy to people during their time of need. And we're doing that through the provision of brand new clothing. Because we want people to feel a sense of dignity and not necessarily be reminded of their circumstances by having to wear someone else's clothing, yeah. Particularly at a time such as now.
It's interesting you say that. I know that some charities have had to come out and ask people not to send unsolicited donations, some very well-meaning people with some good quality, you know, used items, sometimes send things to disaster areas with the best intentions, that they're wanting to help. It's not always the right thing though, isn't it? It's interesting you say that maybe wearing secondhand clothing isn't the right thing for someone's mental health at the moment.
Yeah, that's correct. We are a first responder in such circumstances. And similar to the work that we did in 2019 and 2020 around the bushfires, we wait to be invited in by the community. So we don't just turn up because we know there's a need. That's important to know where and when your services are required. So our services are always available and we wait for those agencies to call us in. So the first week in March, we reached out to all those local agencies to let them know we were ready to start to providing support. And there's three ways in which our service is accessed in a natural disaster. The first is online. So we have an online wardrobe, which agencies all around the country use every single day.
Right.
And so we work with registered charities and social service agencies, and they can place orders for clothing for people in need. And that's how we started to activate our service. We then sent a fleet of vehicles, which we call mobile wardrobes. They went ahead of us to start delivering clothing to people in need immediately. And those vehicles drive into community and make new clothing available to people in need. And in the end of the first week of March, we created a pop-up emergency clothing hub at the Lismore showgrounds. We did something similar in southeast Queensland in two locations to provide brand new clothing, all still bagged and with its swing tag on racks to just give people a sense of, as I said, a sense of dignity and to provide some uplift and spirit to them during their difficult time.
Anthony Chesler is with us here on Evenings. He's the CEO of the group Thread Together. And as you're hearing, they're trying to repurpose the clothing that's not used. It's actually end-of-line clothing or, you know, last season's clothing, brand new clothing. I hadn't thought about where this clothing goes, Anthony. I think I might have assumed that it just moved on to find another chance of being sold somewhere. I think I thought that when something had done its time in your local, you know, big department store and it hadn't been bought and it was now, you know, at the end of the season that maybe it goes to an outlet store. Is this clothing been through that process and it's kind of reached the end of the line for where it might be bought?
For some brands or retailers, it does go through an outlet store, but not for many. Mm. And so sadly, about one third of all new clothing has historically gone from factory to landfill.
Say that again. A third of all brand new clothing goes from the factory to landfill.
That's correct.
No one ever wears it.
That's very much a function of new clothing just being overproduced, and sometimes the seasons are not right and so the fashion's not right. And we've had obviously a significant amount of clothing that hasn't sold in store over the last two years as a result of COVID.
Yeah.
And so
no one needed a suit. Everyone could just wear their trackies. No one needed the work pants. Everyone was wearing,
that's right.
Active wear. I bet lots of active wear was bought. Just people, all they're allowed to do was walk around the block for a while there. So,
So we exist to keep that clothing in circulation. So we solve two problems with one solution. The first is to collect that clothing from thousands of fashion brands all around the country. We bring that back to our center. We control the inbound supply, so no one can send clothing to us unsolicited.
Right, yeah.
And so those agencies do so at no cost to them. And then through a network of volunteers who give up their valuable time every single day, we host volunteers all week, and we get the clothing ready to give to people. So often if it's coming out of a store, it might still be on a hanger, it might be, you may have some sneakers and a pair of jeans and some t-shirts in the same box. So volunteers help us to sort and categorize the clothing. And then agencies access our service in one of four ways. So I mentioned online, I mentioned the fleet of vehicles that we have which drive into community, and those have been in Corakai and Wardell. They've been Woodburn, and they are moving around in the Northern Rivers region supporting communities. We also have physical clothing stores, which are more permanent stores around the country, where individuals are invited in to access our service by those agencies. So they're not walk-in stores to the general public, but to people in need. We've created an experience where people can really feel a sense of dignity and feel empowered by coming in and choosing new clothing, which is choice is very, very important, particularly at times such as now, where we want to give people the opportunity to choose the clothing that they want to wear, not necessarily rummage through bags, or plastic bags, or secondhand clothing.
Now, it's interesting. Do you work in with op shops? I'm a keen op shopper, and I notice sometimes in the op shop you'll find a whole lot of new clothing that has been donated there by, it's obviously the end of the line. Sometimes it's all the same outfit in a row. Do you donate, does new clothing find its way to the op shop? And also you mentioned before that certain organisations, they've got a hotline to you where they can help people in need. I think a lot of people think when they go to the op shop that by buying the clothing at the op shop, they're taking away the chance for someone with a lower income to have that clothing. But actually, the money raised goes to help those services. So they're happy to have anyone shop in the op shop, aren't they?
That's correct. You're right there. Now, we don't provide clothing into op shops because all of the clothing that's donated to us is given to people in need.
Yes.
So the difference between our model and op shops is op shops are selling the clothing and using the proceeds of that sale to support the services for more vulnerable people. And so now in our model, we know people who are vulnerable can't afford to shop in op shops all the time. And so we work with agencies, including the large agencies that have all got op shops like the Salvation Army and the Red Cross. They're all partners of ours who receive clothing, and the clothing that they receive never goes into an op shop. It's used to be given to individuals.
Yes.
We're supporting families that are arriving from Ukraine just recently. We do a lot of work with new arrivals from Afghanistan over the last 6 months. Wherever there's a need, agencies are reaching out to us, and we're fulfilling that need with new clothing, helping women return to work, helping survivors of domestic violence, helping men and women who are returning to the community from being incarcerated. Wherever that need exists, we're looking to keep clothing in circulation at its highest value.
You're listening to ABC Radio. Emma Crowe is my name. And with me is the CEO of the organisation Thread Together, Anthony Chesler. We're talking about this staggering thing that you just said earlier, that a third of all brand new clothing goes from the factory to landfill. I still can't quite That's kind of amazing that it doesn't even get worn once. So, you know, I thought fast fashion was about, I understand that there's some people who go and buy one little outfit, wear it once, and then it goes to the landfill. But the idea that it gets made, possibly gets to a store or doesn't, gets put in a factory somewhere, doesn't get distributed. It's kind of amazing. You're also finding, so you find homes for people in need. Can people reach out to you as individuals who need clothing, or do they need to go through an agency? If someone's listening to this and thinking, I know someone who could really use some new clothes, they're down on their luck, they've either been in a flood-affected area that hasn't had your pop-up turn up there yet. Maybe they are someone who's just come out of prison. Are people able to approach you directly, or is it better for them to go via a service?
People do approach us directly, but the way in which we operate is to work with an agency who can support that individual, not just with access to clothing, but potentially with access to other services.
Yeah.
Being a registered charity in a fairly small team, we're not resourced to be able to respond to thousands of people reaching out to us to request clothing. Mm. Agencies are really helping us to triage individuals in need. We are able to understand where the need is from individuals in the community. And that's why our mobile wardrobe service is being able to, you know, get to locations if individuals can't get to our clothing hub, which is located in the Lismore Showgrounds. I might add that our store was flooded last week amongst everyone else. And so we ourselves have firsthand experienced what that's like. And, we managed to salvage a lot of the clothing, but, you know, some of it we're working with organizations like Orange Sky Laundry who are helping us to sort of, you know, address some of the damaged stock that we experienced as a result of the flooding last week, which was, you know, heartbreaking for ourselves and all the volunteers that have been supporting us.
So, you know, natural disasters is one area where you can help. You mentioned you're also working extensively now with new arrivals from Ukraine. Can you tell us a little bit more about the work you're doing there with new arrivals?
Yeah. So what happens? Like we obviously during COVID there were less in the size of the intake, which was much smaller than what it has historically been. Obviously that lifted when we saw many people get onto planes in Kabul last year in Afghanistan, and really just leaving with the clothes that they're on. We've met families, mothers and their children and grandmothers who are accessing our service largely with interpreters now who've arrived from the Ukraine. Many of them have shared their stories, having walked hundreds of kilometres to cross the border into safer havens and arrive in Australia. Those individuals that are accessing our service, again, are doing so through agencies. The agency connects them to us and we help them to build out a new wardrobe. We would typically receive a manifest, which would give us an indication of the individual's family composition and the nature of the sizing. And then we help to build out a wardrobe of clothing. So individuals can access our service for, you know, casual wear, active wear, you know, return to work wear. And we're just trying to give people, some new fresh threads for a new beginning.
Yeah.
And we've just heard some amazing stories and feedback from those. You know, a gentleman from Afghanistan last year never wore a suit, and we provided him with, you know, a pair of trousers, a jacket, shirts, ties, and it's a prestigious thing to do, to wear a suit in Afghanistan. And just the expression on this individual's face, having, you know, been fully wardrobed, but to wear a suit and own a suit was just it inspires us to do what we do. And we're seeing the same thing with new arrivals from the Ukraine. They're coming through we invite them into our store. They have the opportunity to choose clothing. A lot of the clothing styles are quite similar, whereas with Afghanistan, the clothing style, there were some cultural differences, particularly for women, but we worked with the community to address that. And so it is a very tailored service for families and individuals that are in need. We're all about empowering people through choice of new clothing.
So interesting, the work you're doing, Anthony, with your group Thread Together. I wonder, I don't know whether I caught quite how you get your hands on the product in the beginning. I know there's a charity, OzHarvest, that works in the food spaces, trying to not waste food. Do you approach different department stores, or do you go above that chain? Where do you get the new clothes from? How do you intercept them from the landfill?
Because we're solving a really relevant problem for almost all fashion brands, organically they find their way to us before we can actually get to them. And so we have amazing partners who want to do more than just see us as a solution to excess. Mm. And so those brands are reaching out to us directly. You know, we've seen an enormous outpouring of support off the back of the flooding from, you know, hundreds and hundreds of brands that weren't initially donating clothing to us that have become aware of us and starting to donate on a more ongoing basis. You have to put yourselves in the position of those brands. They've got the next season stock coming in. They need to clear a store. They don't have scalable solutions other than ourselves to work with the product. They can decide to give it to a charity or two charities, but many of those charities can take one or two suits or 10 suits, but we could take, you know, hundreds of items of clothing from brands, and we do so every single day. And it's largely organic traffic. I must tell you, like, we do have product gaps. We could never have enough socks and enough underwear, as an example. But we're working with the industry, and they're seeing us more than just as a solution to excess. They're coming and bringing their teams to volunteer. They're helping us to fundraise. For as little as $5, we could provide a brand new wardrobe to a person in need. Individuals can donate through our website, but brands help us at point of sale to do some of that fundraising as well.
People listening to this might like to help. Are you looking for more volunteers, people who might like the idea of looking through, you know, a whole lot of lovely new clothes and sorting them out, knowing they're going to a new home?
Yeah, we are. We need help. We have a small team of volunteers in Lismore at the showgrounds. We've been fortunate to receive the support of organizations like Norco and Officeworks, and many of those businesses that have been disrupted are making their teams available to support us to deliver our service. We would be love to have more volunteers both in Lismore and at our center in Sydney. People can register their interest to volunteer either through our Instagram page or through our website. People could also help us by making a very small donation. As I said, for as little as $5, a brand new wardrobe can be provided to a person in need. And so for the cost of a cup of coffee these days, someone could, you know, receive 25 to 35 units of clothing to get them on their way to a new start. So volunteering, supporting us with a small financial donation are two ways in which people listening out there could support us, and that could all be done through our website.
Thanks very much for telling us a little bit about the work of Thread Together this evening, Anthony. That website is threadtogether.org, by the way, if you like what you're hearing and you'd like to help. Thank you so much. Really interesting to hear. We didn't even get onto the bit where you can turn clothing into tables. Maybe next time. But thanks so much, Anthony.
That's a pleasure. Thank you for the opportunity, and all the best to you and your listeners.
Thanks very much.